You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. And speaking of our brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we have brothers and sisters that are blind. We have brothers and sisters that are deaf. We have brothers and sisters that are dumb. And we have brothers and sisters that are dead. But Yahweh is not the God of the dead, but rather the God of the living. Der Gott der Liebenden, the God of the living, Yahweh. Der Gott der Liebenden. When I'm speaking of them being deaf, dumb, and blind, and dead, oh no, they're very much alive, so to speak, physically. Yes, they can see. Yes, they can hear. And boy, can they speak. But they are spiritually dead. Spiritually blind. Spiritually deaf. And spiritually dumb. And when Yeshua was on the earth, Yahweh in the flesh, he gave sight to the blind, but not only physical sight to people that were actually blind, but spiritual sight. And he caused the deaf to hear, not only spiritually, but physically. And he caused the dumb to speak, not only spiritually, but physically. And you guess where I'm going, of course, I understand that. Yes, he rose the dead, but not just the dead physically, which is an absolute miracle, but the dead spiritually, because he is the God of the living, der Gott der Liebenden, the God of the living. And this is the task that we have before us. Our brothers and sisters, as I've already said, are deaf, dumb, and blind, and dead. It is our responsibility to give them sight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. So, truth being just spoken is so valuable to all who hear it. You see, there's people out in the world, our brothers and sisters, that never hear the truth. They're encroached in a Jew world full of lies. They're surrounded by liars and sellouts. So Yahweh has brought us here to speak the truth, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of Yahweh, or by the word of Yahweh. You see, once you hear, then you're able to see. In your mind, in your spirit. Once you hear truth, it enables the vision automatically or subsequently. And then it enables the mouth to begin to speak the truth. For the dumb aren't only those who can't speak, but the dumb are those who don't know the truth and how to speak it, because they just haven't been enabled to speak it. So, you see that once these three come into action, another of our brothers has been risen from the dead. You see? See, we happen to be in a world of zombies. That's really what a zombie is. So, Yahweh has placed us here at EFR and other places in the world to enable people to hear the truth. Hear the truth, you see? If one never hears the truth, how will one come to the reality of what the truth is? See, truth is many things to many people, but not all truth is truth. Some truths are just things that people believe to be true, but really aren't true. Other people are seeking the truth, and they seek it in the wrong places. Other people get partiality with the truth, because you will never, ever have the full picture of the story that we live, history, until you have Yahweh's truth. Yahweh's truth is the crux. It's the crest. It's the key. It's the enablement. It's everything. If you are seeking the truth in this world and you do not have the biblical perspective, you are incapacitated. You're only running on three wheels, or two wheels, or one wheel. You see, many people know about the New World Order, and they think that's the whole truth, that we just need to stop the New World Order. But that's not the whole truth. It never was the whole truth. The bigger picture is the fact that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples are the true Israelites of the Bible. Why is that important? Say if it's not important to you. Say, well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, you're gonna believe in the Bible. Whether you believe in the Bible or not, you are going to believe. I just hope it doesn't happen when you're physically dead, because it's too late then. You see, why is it important? Because we have masqueraders masquerading as the tribes of Israel. The Jews are masquerading like their father masquerades as an angel of light. Oh, yes, he came to Eve when she was doing her penance. And he tricked her because he came as an angel of light. Remember, You could be seeking light and truth, and you could be a mason or whatever it is, and seeking light and thinking you're getting the truth. But portions of the truth are not good enough. So these children, this offspring who we are at war with, that most of my brothers and sisters don't even know there's a war going on, and there's been a war going on. Well, why is this more important than just the New World Order? The New World Order is the vehicle to carry out all the destruction against the true Israel of the Bible, Yahweh's true people. The serpent seed line has been at war with us. There's two seed lines at war. Genesis 3:15, Yahweh commanded it. It was part of the judgment for what occurred in the garden. You see? And this war has been going on ever since. We saw the war continued as we saw Abraham's son Isaac. His brother Ishmael had an arrow pointed at him. But let's start off first after the garden, that Abel was slain by Cain. There's your proof of the war. Then it went to, notice how the brothers are against each other. Notice how later Ishmael pointed a bow and arrow at Isaac, which then meant that he had to be separated from the family and sent away. Then the story carries on with Jacob and Esau. In Rebekah's womb, two nations were fighting against one another. Yes, this war carries on, yet only one side knows that they're at war, and the other side has no idea that there's a war even existing here. It has no idea that there's been a war that's been going on for 7,500 years, I think it is. And this war will continue right up until the time when Yahweh comes back in the flesh again. Really not in the same flesh, but you know what I'm saying. He's not coming back as a lamb this time. The lamb days are over. It will be the day of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the greatest lion of all lions. But what's going on is the New World Order and Big Brother and all of the mechanisms that are going on worldwide, whether it's homosexuality, the promotion of pedophilia, on and on. All these things are designed, race mixing, all these things are designed to destroy the seed of Jacob. Jacob became Israel, not a landmass. Jacob became Israel, who had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. Though you've heard this over and over, you're going to hear it until faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. Until it sinks into your cranial cavity and penetrates that thick area that is so hard to penetrate by anything truthful. You'll allow anything else to penetrate your brain, whether it's television, radio, sports. But you've been taught by your enemy that you want nothing to do with the Bible. Because these man-made religions have turned you against Yahweh. These Jews have turned you against Yahweh. The Jewish form of Christianity has turned you against Yahweh. And I understand that. I can look at that from an objective view or an objective point and understand. But what we're talking about is two-thirds of our race has been taken off this earth within the last 150 years. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. There's proof of white genocide. This white genocide is the destruction of the tribes of Israel. Now, the Jews know this. But the tribes of Israel don't know this. It's not funny. I shouldn't laugh. It's just, it's so ironic. It's just mind-blowing. You see, we have to make them see so that they can then hear and then be able to speak, and then they will be risen from the dead. They will no longer be with the dead because Yahweh is the God of the living. Der Gott der Lebenden, not the God of the dead. So, the bigger picture is they figure if they can wipe us off the planet, and they have said it in all kinds of quotes, they mean business. Listen to my last week's news program, and you will have the quotes to prove to you that the Jews want white genocide, and they're all for it. Now, what the Jews are doing now is they're getting involved in something new here. And let me tell you what that is. Now all of a sudden, they no longer want to be white anymore. They never were white anyway, but they were masquerading as whites. And even the Negroes can't tell that they're not white. And most of the white people believe that they're white. I used to. But no, they're not white. And now what they're going to do is they're going to pretend, they're just going to finally tell the truth and say, we're not white. But there's a purpose behind it. You see, they want to make sure that all the minorities know that they hate the woman of Israel, because that's who we are, the woman who is being persecuted. The flood is coming in and surrounding us. Now what the Jew is doing is claiming now, instead of trying to claim they're white, now they're going to claim that they're non-white, which is the truth anyway. But the purpose of it is because they want you to know that you're ganging, they want you as the non-white who want to kill all of us white people, that they want you to know that they're non-white now. So there's a real problem with them being Israel, the true Israel. You see, they're not the true Israel. That's an admission right there. Now, you should realize that that's an admission that they are not white and that they are not the true Israel of the Bible. How do you know that they're not white? Even though they are coming out and saying that a rabbi just came out and said that they need to admit that they are not white. And the reason of that is because in my news show, when I read the quotes, By just reading the quotes that they want white genocide, it proves that the Jews are not white right there, because if they were white, they wouldn't call out for white genocide. Do you understand that? I think you do. It's just pure common sense, pure common sense. If you're calling out for white genocide, then that means you must not be white. Because we've seen the blacks call out for white genocide. We've seen the Jews call out for white genocide. We even see once in a great while, there's mentally ill white people that are ashamed of being white, which I think is absolutely humorous. A top-notch fool, a top-notch played idiot, useful idiot. So the bigger picture is that the Jews, who are a half-breed people, not even half-breed, they're so mixed, they're gonzo. Totally race-mixed people. I've told you why on previous shows. Proven it to you. They are Turco-Mongolian. They have Mongolian blood. They don't have the same blood as we do. They don't have the same bone marrow as any of the races do. So therefore, they cannot be Israel. And when they're calling out for the genocide of us, you will find out, whether you find out now by listening to me or my brothers and sisters at EFR and other places, not many other places, you'll find out when you're dead that we're telling you the truth. As that old cook said one time, or a thousand times, I guarantee. I guarantee it. All the evidence that's been compiled, I've heard other shows, they're just doing this to the white nations. Eleanor Roosevelt, her dream, she's a Jewess, Rosenvelt. Her dream was, I dream of the day when the sidewalks of America are filled with brown people. Then you heard of that other fellow in Europe who wanted to turn all the races of Europe brown. And then you have the brown man in front of the UN. So the Jews are a race-mixed mongrel people who cannot rule over white people very well. It just doesn't seem to work for them. Because of their lies and because of their policies. I don't know. It's because of many, many reasons. That's why communism really doesn't work in white nations, but it works well with the brown people. Do you understand? This is what they want to do, is because white people being around, it makes it hard to rule the world. They only can pretend they rule the world. When Whitey stops working for the Jew, he'll find out very quickly that he's in deep trouble. I guarantee the brown man will kill the Jew. Because the brown man will eventually realize who the Jew is and what the Jew is. If they were able to wipe us off the planet, guaranteed, the Jew will not be the last on the planet, unless they kill all the brown people. I know what I've told you the progression is. Then, if there were only Jews left on the planet, this race would stagger and die anyway. But they'd kill each other off until the last two men were there, and then they'd kill each other. Because they're a despicable people. They're not even people, as far as I'm concerned. They're serpents. They're just like their father, the devil. And I mean literally their father, the devil, the serpent, that old serpent, the old un. So all this trickery has gone on throughout all this time. And if you do not have the biblical perspective, you will never know what is going on around you fully. You will never understand it fully. Because only the Bible ties the whole thing together. And that is the truth. Guaranteed that's the truth. How long will you wait before you repent? How long will you stay on the fence? How long will you stay on the defense? Think about that for a moment. When will you take offense? How long can you pretend it's not happening? Where will you get your strength from? You see, this is something important to think about. I want you to think about this and think about it very well and very long. Who will you cry out to on your dying day? It's a good question, isn't it? Will you call out to the Pope? Will you call out to Mr. Rothschild? Who will you cry out to? The devil? Like George Harrison was doing when he was being stabbed? He was calling out to Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna is Osiris. And Osiris is known as the Green Man. He is Lucifer. Will you cry out to Lucifer on your dying day? And more importantly, will you get an answer? But then again, will you cry out to Yahweh on your dying day? After ignoring him for a lifetime, after not caring what he thinks, after taking the easy way out of everything, will you cry out to him on your dying day? And more importantly, again, will you get an answer? I think you know what the answer is. If you ignore him, if you abhor him, if you speak bad about him, if you are unthankful, and on and on and on it goes. Don't expect an answer. And if you want to know what's going wrong in the world and you're not willing to seek the truth, don't expect an answer. Don't expect the real answer that you will get here at EFR. Don't expect it. Because you know what? Nobody pays me to seek the truth. Nobody pays me to read books. Nobody pays me to do this radio show. Or any of us. You see, I know this world has taught you to think that time is money. Says who, the Jew? Says who, Uncle Samael? No. You see, if you make that your precept, if you make that your way of thinking and your way of, if everything you do is measured by if you make some money doing it, then you might as well worship your money, because that's what you are doing. No, the truth costs money to find the truth. And a lot of the truth is free, but it has to be sought. That's why Yeshua said, seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He didn't say, seek yourself one of these Judeo-Christian ministers to pray over your wallet because I want to make you rich. Did he? He never said that, did he? Because he may not want to make you rich, especially if you're somebody that believes in the precept that time is money. No, one must dig for the trinkets of the truth. One must seek the kingdom and Yahweh and his ways and his laws and his wisdom in order to get the trinkets of the truth. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Wisdom is more precious than gold. Wisdom is more precious than silver. You see, it says in the Bible, the books, that in the end times, they will throw their gold and silver in the streets. It didn't say they'd throw their wisdom in the streets, though, did it? No, it didn't. So, what will you do? Will you seek the truth? Will you turn off Talmud vision? Will you forget about going to sports games? Or are you more interested in a sports player's statistics than you are Yahweh? I think many of you are. You've been trapped. You've been tapped as well. Because the Jew never lets you get trapped without getting tapped. Money's always part of the deal. When he wants to brainwash you with Talmud vision, you notice you have to pay the cable bill. You would think that they would want to brainwash you so badly that they'd give it to you for free. And not only do they not give it to you for free, but on top of that, they're programming your mind and they're charging companies money to put commercials on there. You see, when you first got your cable bill, your Talmud vision bill, it was so you would have commercial-free TV, right? Then all of a sudden the commercials came in. This is the way the Jew always works. It worked that way with those satellite radio things. First it started out, you're going to get commercial-free radio. Then all of a sudden there was one commercial, then two commercials, then three commercials. The Jew never can get enough because time is money to the Jew. That's all they think about besides destroying the true Israelites of the Bible. Money always has to be involved in it. You pay for your own slavery, do you not? You've always paid for your own slavery. You've paid for every link in the chain. And just notice, you know, with this immigration thing, let me mention something. Now that this immigration thing has come along, there's plenty of money to house these people, isn't there? Plenty of money to give them food stamps, free medical, even jobs. But I want you to notice something, ladies and gentlemen. Before those immigrants were there, they didn't have any money for you. And there was no free medical for you. And there's no jobs for you. All of a sudden, they have the money. There was no money for the elderly. There was no money for so-called governmental programs. But now, all these immigrants are coming into all the countries, all the white countries, and there's all kinds of money for them. Free medical, free schooling, free vehicles, free cell phones. You see, let me give you a little clue about your cell phone. You spend, $350, $400 for a cell phone, right? And then you want to upgrade your phone eventually. So what they do is they say, well, we'll buy your old phone back off of you, which is a perfectly good phone in most cases. And they'll give you about $30 for it. You get it? All of a sudden, there's all kinds of money for millions and millions of non-white people. See, what my point is there always was plenty of money for the elderly. And there always was plenty of money for you, the people of your country, the ones who really belong in your country, that is. There was always plenty of money for you. Plenty of money to pay for your health care, plenty of money to pay for. The only reason you're paying for your health care and they're forcing you to pay for health care is, you see, the more you pay for health care, they were able to even put some more people on with some of that money, you see. But there's still plenty of money for all these immigrants. It just appeared out of nowhere. Well, doesn't it always? The Wizard of Oz. Don't pay attention to that guy behind the curtain. Don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain. Don't pay attention to that man behind the curtain. I suppose that this rant is slowly coming to an end. For those of you who haven't turned it off because you couldn't take it, maybe some will be relieved. Others may have been reached. You see, you've got to get rid of your fear. You've got to tame your feelings. You've got to get control of yourself. The title of this message is The First Democrat. Reading from Manly P. Hall's book, "The leader who had the first social consciousness in the administration of a nation was a pharaoh of Egypt, Akhenaten. Born several thousand years too soon, he was the first realist in democracy, the first humanitarian, the first internationalist. He saw that the duty of the ruler is to protect for all the right to live well, to think, to dream, to hope, to aspire. For his dream of the brotherhood of man, he cheerfully gave his life." Isn't that wonderful? Why, he's practically Yahweh in the flesh. You've got to be joking. Man has passed out of the state of savagery. Oh, really? Really? Man has passed out of the state of savagery. Well, I think Manly P. Hall, if he was alive, we should have sent him over to Europe and put him out on the streets of America, like Detroit and a few of our other wonderful L.A. and all those, and see if man has passed out of the state of savagery. Man has passed out of the state of savagery and become a civilized creature with the development of social consciousness. Civilization is a collective state. In our collective type of life, the isolationist is a detriment to himself and a menace to all others. Now, when I read this to you, don't take it as all truths, because that is a bunch of horse manure.
Then why are you reading it to us, David? Why? Why?
Because I want you to understand where the secret societies and these Democrats, where they're coming from. They don't believe the truth. They have no love for Yahweh. But I want you to see what they're saying. There is a great difference between isolationism and intellectualism. Development of the mind releases the individual from mob psychology, but it does not set him apart from the common responsibilities of his kind. A true thinker becomes a force for good within the group life. If his intellectual powers lure him away from the practical problems and values of this world, he can no longer make his contribution to the social unity. See, think about that. It's very interesting how these people think. Political reforms are not accomplished by the people, but through the people. What people there, Mr. Manly P. Hall? You mean through the Jew? Who aren't people? Behind all collective progress stands the enlightened individual's leadership. His superiority does not free him from common responsibility. His is the obligation to assume the greater burden of directing his vision to the well-being of all his people. Oh, yes, that's if he could get through the 96% of the media that's owned by the enemy, the Jew. Who is this great leader? Let us see how this works. We'll go far back to ancient times. Akhenaten, pharaoh of Egypt, thrown under the title Amenhotep IV, is often referred to as the first civilized human being. While this may not be literally true, he was definitely the first man in recorded history to exemplify social consciousness in the administration of a great nation. Akhenaten, the beloved child of Aton, was born in Thebes, about 1388 BC. Like most of the princes of his house, he was extremely delicate as a child, and it was feared that he would not live to reach the throne. As the last of his line, the dynasty would end with him if he died without issue. For this reason, he was married in his 12th year to a 10-year-old Egyptian girl of noble birth named Nefertiti. During the childhood of the young king, Queen Mother Ti ruled as a regent of the Double Empire. She is believed to have been of Syrian origin, which would account for many strange un-Egyptian ideas in religion, government, and art, which were developed during the reign of Akhenaten. Queen Ti, brilliant and capable, had recognized before her son reached majority that in him were qualities more divine than human. The son became the actual ruler of his country in his 18th year. His reign extended for 17 years. Akhenaten had been ruler of Egypt only about 2 years when he opposed his will to the priesthood of Amun-Ra by attacking the oldest and most firmly established of all Egyptian institutions. The young pharaoh created legions of enemies and brought down upon himself the wrath of religion of the state. He could scarcely have chosen a surer way of complicating the problems of his life. In the midst of this conflict, he proclaimed a new spiritual dispensation, and to escape his enemies, built a new capital city, 160 miles up the Nile from Cairo. His new faith was Atenism, and he named his city Khuten-Aten, the horizon of the Aten, and dedicated the city with these words, "Ye behold the city of the horizon of Aten, which the Aten has desired me to make for him," that's with a capital H, "as a monument." So he's making this city to a god. So already we see that this wisdom of this so-called Democrat is brouhaha. It's BS. It's horse manure. Wrong God. There's no God but one, and that's Yahweh. Because the older name included the word Amen, whose faith he had rejected. Get it? See, everything is told to you right here. Everything is just told to you who these people are that want democracy in the world. Whether they be Jew or whether they be Satanist or whether they be Shabbos Goy controlled by the Jew. Charles F. Potter in his... Oh, let me see. Right. Charles F. Potter, in his History of Religion, says of Akhenaten that he was the first pacifist, the first realist, the first monotheist, the first democrat, the first heretic, the first humanitarian, the first internationalist, and the first person known to attempt to found a religion. He was born out of due time, several thousand years too soon. From his 26th year to his 31st year, Akhenaten devoted his life to the perfection of his mystical doctrine in the city which he had built for the ever-living God. See, he just has the wrong God. He was believing in one God, which was different for the Egyptians. Of this time, that is. Here he taught the mystery of the Divine Father and wrote the simple and beautiful poems which have endured and survived time. To Akhenaten, God was not a mighty warrior ruling over Egypt, speaking through the oracles of his priests. He was not a supreme being flying through the air in a war chariot leading armies of destruction. Aten was the gentle father who loved all his children of every race and nation. Ah, yes. That's the same God that they worship today. His name is Lucifer. That's not Yahweh. Yahweh does not ascribe to every race and every nation. There are nations he hates. There are races he hates. They are not all his children. Because if you have race mixed, you are not a child of Yahweh. You have not been planted by Yahweh. So Aten was the gentle father who loved all his children of every race and nation and desired for them that they should live together in peace and comradeship. Hello, what does that sound like to you? Does that sound like universalism? Hello, was Aten, did he have a pope who sat there for him? Was this young boy with his foolish ideas, his satanic ideas, was he was the first internationalist. Who are the internationalists in our world today? Ladies and gentlemen, why, it's the Jews. They've always been internationalists. And what did I tell you before on my show? When you hear the word internationalist, or in that word in any form or fashion, you know it's speaking of the Jew. Even more, God, the Aten, had created all the lesser creatures, whether birds that nested in the papyrus reeds along the banks of the Nile, or dragonflies with many colored wings that hovered over quiet pools and the lotus blooms. Yes, when they said he was born out of his time, he would be a perfect person to be a Judeo-Christian minister, because they believe this same nonsense. They are universalists. Yahweh is not a universalist. We are not all one. We as Israel are to be separate. We're not to be all one. We're not to live in peace with everybody in every nation like that. That's not the way Yahweh designed it. I'm very sorry I have to disappoint you. The Aten, or God, or Lucifer, was the father of all beasts and fishes and flowers and insects. Oh, yes, God is in everything. He had fashioned them in his wisdom and preserved them with his love and tenderness. Akhenaten, seated in the garden of his palace, spent many hours watching the flight of birds and listening to the voices of the little creatures. There's nothing wrong with that. He tells us that he found the Aten in all of them, and that his heart went out to them, and he gave thanks for the goodness in everything that lived. He must have not experienced the Jew. This was a pharaoh who traveled alone through the countryside, meeting the peasants, conversing with slaves, and sharing the simple food of the poor. Sounds like he's the Pope. To the most ignorant man, he listened with profound respect, for in each of his subjects, he sought and found the life of the Aten. He saw the universal God, the universal God, the universal God, shining through the eyes of the little children. Beheld the beauty of the Aten in the bodies of the men who worked in the fields. He could not, those aren't Jews. He could not understand why others did not see God in everything as he did. He's practically a Hindu. I suppose he could look at a doorknob and see God in a doorknob. Like most of the great religious leaders, assumed great religious leaders, Akhenaten accepted the social problem of life as part of religion. He could not accept the inequalities of birth, wealth, or physical estate. Notice how he could see God in everything else, but he couldn't see God in these things, you see. He could see God in doorknobs and creatures and men working in the field and birds and everything. But like most of the great religious leaders, Akhenaten accepted the social problem of life as part of religion. He could not accept the inequalities of birth, wealth, or physical estate as a justification for men persecuting each other or exploiting one another. He saw every living thing as having a divine right, a right to live well, to think, to dream, to hope, to aspire. Not bad. He saw it the duty of the ruler to protect this beauty in the hearts of his people, to nourish it, and to give every possible opportunity for its expression and perfection. Religious intolerance was impossible among those who worshipped the Aten, and there was no room for political intolerance in a world governed by the laws of brotherly love. Yes. Each man became the protector and comforter of all other men, cherishing the dreams of others equally with his own. In his personal life, Akhenaten emerges as the first man in history to bring dignity and gentle beauty to the management of his home. He was the father of 7 daughters to whom he was completely devoted, and in his speeches and public pronouncements, he always referred to Queen Nefertiti as my beloved wife. He was a politician. It was usual for the pharaohs to cause themselves to be depicted in great stone carvings upon walls of their palaces. They were represented as majestic figures crowned and sceptered. They were shown either seated on their thrones or wielding their weapons against their foes. Akhenaten was the only pharaoh in the history of Egypt who chose to be depicted with his arm about his wife and with his little daughters playing about and seated on his lap. Well, that's nice. He liked the family, unlike these Democrats, unlike the Jews, unlike the so-called Illuminati, who are all one in the same. As with the passing years, the health of the pharaoh grew worse. The opposition of the priesthood of Amun-Ra grew greater, and his reign was complicated by invasions by the Hittite nations. The governors of various provinces pleaded with him for help, but Akhenaten would not send armies. The dreamer king saw his lands pillaged and his cities conquered. Yes, he was a pacifist. But he would not kill his enemies. They too were the children of Aten. Yes, see, he's gone over the threshold of common sense, over the threshold of wisdom. Akhenaten died in his 36th year at the altar of Aten in the temple of faith he had created. When his mummy case was found, the following prayer to Aten was discovered, inscribed on golden foil beneath his feet. I breathe the sweet breath which comes forth from thy mouth. I behold thy beauty in every day. Give me thy hands holding thy spirit, that I may receive it and may be lifted by it. Call thou upon my name unto eternity, and it shall never fail. In the words of the great Egyptologist, Professor Breasted, there died with him such a spirit as the world had never seen before. Akhenaten was the first man in history who dared to dream of brotherhood, of the brotherhood of men, and he cheerfully gave his life and his empire for that dream. And that's all it is a dream, sonny boy. 'Cause it wasn't meant to be that way. There are those who are appointed for destruction before the foundation of the earth. There are those who are to be written in the book of life before the foundation of the earth. All these are our dreams. You see, he was asleep, ladies and gentlemen. What did I tell you in the beginning of this message? He could not really see. He could see a little bit, but it was all the physical. Even though he thought he was spiritual, he was not seeing properly. He was not hearing properly. He was not speaking all properly. And he was dead. He was dreaming. You see, I coined a phrase, and that's this. You know what the problem with the American dream is? You have to be asleep to enjoy it. Let me say it again. Do you know what the problem with the American dream is? Or do you know why they call it the American dream? That's it correctly. Do you know why they call it the American dream? Because you have to be asleep to enjoy it. This man was asleep. He was a dreamer. Now, there's nothing wrong with dreams, but dreams are not reality. And often reality is not anything like what you dreamt. Men have fantasies, but the reality of those fantasies are never as good as the fantasy. Or really. I don't know if you would agree with that or not. The American dream is a nightmare when you're awake to what's going on here. When you find out that you don't even own your own property. That even after you've paid the mortgage off, you don't own the property. You're just a tenant for about 99 years. So the house dream, oh, that's gone wrong already. But it was a nice dream. Two cars in the driveway, hmm? But what about all the usury you paid for the home and the cars? The family part of the dream is good. But they've destroyed that. You can bring your children up now and they destroy your children when they get control of their minds, when Talmud vision gets control of their mind, when Talmud vision and the so-called educational system gets control of their mind. Your dream was to have a child that would grow up and supersede you and do better than you did. Well, that's possible. But with the Jew in the landscape, the serpent under the blades of grass. The predator is always there. And the dream is distorted. Democracy is a dream that is distorted. See, light. Distorted light. You thought you'd own your own property. You see, we used to own our own property when we were sovereign citizens. They're trying to make you think that sovereign citizens are a threat to America. The number one threat, by the way. But the Queen in England is a sovereign citizen. The monarchs all were sovereigns. And all Americans were sovereigns. We really did own our land. Still, even in Texas these days, they don't have that. They own their land as far as I know. They don't pay taxes on their land or on their homes. Unless that's changed recently. I don't really know all the details of it. You need an allodial title to own your own home and to be off the system and to be a sovereign. To be a sovereign citizen is probably the greatest thing you could be, and we all should be. No one should rely on devils and devil's systems. And Jews. You see, this dreamer, these Jews are dreamers. They think they're going to have their New World Order. I've heard people say, oh, the New World Order is already in right now. It is like hell. The New World Order has failed. Why do you think they're desperately doing this right now with the nonsense with the immigration? They're in a big rush and they're making a big mistake. Promise you that. The New World Order has failed. The Jew is a failure. The Jew is a dreamer. How do I know that? Because I've been a dreamer in my life. I thought I was going to make it in music, not realizing that the Jew controlled the whole system and there was no damn way that he was going to ever allow me to make it in music. Yahweh knew that a long time ago, but I didn't. It takes one to know one. I no longer dream anymore. I no longer have, and that's not a bad thing. See, they've taught you that dreaming is good, but I just told you that why do they call it the American dream? Because you have to be asleep to enjoy it or live it. You have to pretend that you don't know all these things are wrong and going wrong around us. You have to place your head in the sand and just, you know, you've seen the three monkeys, see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. I know nothing. I know nothing. Schultz knows nothing. Schultz is a military genius. Colonel Klink, you are an idiot. There's no point in dreaming in a world that is like this. There's no point in trying to have a dream and dreaming, I'm going to be this and I'm going to be that. I'm not saying you can't accomplish goals. There's nothing wrong with being goal-orientated. I've been goal-orientated my whole life, and I continue in that. That has nothing to do with dreaming. Dreaming is just pretending. What good is it if you have to be asleep to enjoy your dream? If you can never live it out, really? What good is it pretending and being a sellout and pretending you're a congressman and pretending you're respectful and pretending that people respect you? And pretending that you care for your fellow man like this clown dreamer here. What good is it? It's not real. Only real things are totally valuable. You know, $3 dreams and $3 will get you a cup of coffee. I always say that saying, or not dreams, but, you know, anything. Like, you know, practically these degrees that come from the college, that degree and $3 will get you a cup of coffee. You get it? I don't know what it's going to take to get you off the fence. I don't know if I have to shake you. I don't know if I have to throw a rock at you. I don't know if I have to insult you, but I do know I have to wake you, because you're as good as dead right now if you don't know and don't want to know the truth. You are dead. And I will repeat it again. Yahweh is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. See, he's not a dream God, a God you dream about. He's real. How will I reach you? How will anybody reach you? I guess that most people will not respond until it affects them personally. And I understand that, because they continue to dream. They're living the American dream. They're asleep. You have to be asleep to enjoy the American dream. You have to pretend. Even if you're a Jew and you have all the money you could want, they're still living in a dream because it's all pretend. They have to pretend they're not the scum that they are. They have to pretend that they're good people to themselves. I heard Howard Stern say a long time ago that he's a good person. He's kidding, right? He's teaching retards and all kinds of people to do filthy things and evil things. And he's a good person. See, he has to fool himself to believe that. See, because the Jew knows that at the end comes the burning, the Holocaust that Yahweh will bring to them. They shall have it. They've cried wolf. They shall have their Holocaust at a great cost. And I call this story, I'm going to coin a term, I've never seen this before, but I believe this is original thought. I call it the Holocaust. And you're saying, oh, no, no, I've heard of that. No, H O-L-L-O-W, Holocaust. Get it? It's a story that's full of holes. The Holocaust. H-O-L-L-O-W, hollow. And then I could say, hello. The only one that cost anything, this Holocaust that they made up, is it cost Germany and it cost America and it cost all of us all this foolish nonsense and the Swiss bankers and all this stuff. And they're trying to carry this on to the next generations. Oh yes, my children were affected by all this. Listen, you know, I'm going to tell you something, you people, something right now that's very important. There needs to be a movement to start to get reparation from the bankers. Reparations for all people on the planet that have bought houses, cars, whatever it might be, businesses, whatever it is. The Jews owe us a lot of money. They've caused wars that have caused destruction, that have caused countries. Every country in the world should be suing the Jews, suing the Jewish bankers. All countries of this, of all the white countries, all the true Israelite countries should be suing the International Monetary Fund, and all of them. We want reparations for the damages caused to our countries by immigration. We want damages that's been caused to our countries by war. We want reparations for the damages caused to our children. We want reparations for all these things. So there should be a world lawsuit, and no judges on any of the panels or anywhere at all. It's time to get our money back. That just means if you've paid a good amount into your house, you just get your real title for your house, the allodial title, and damages. There's no more time for dreams, ladies and gentlemen. There's no more, let me tell you, America, and I've told this to many people before, the party is over. There is no more party. There's nothing to party about. You need to make your decision. You see, the brown races have made their decision who they're going to follow. They're going to follow the devil and his children. It's a clear decision. But you need to, my white brothers and sisters, you need to make a choice who you're going to follow. Are you going to follow the Jew and the devil and his literal offspring? Or are you going to follow Yahweh, the God of the living? Because if you're not going to make that choice, you can't stay on the fence in the middle and say, well, whoever wins, I'll jump over that side, like Henry Kissinger does, like the Jews do. Henry Kissinger said, if Germany won World War II, I would have gone with them. He's not loyal to America or Germany or anybody else. Jews aren't loyal to anybody but their money. And they're loyal to the destruction of my race. And they're loyal to their father, the devil, Lucifer, Halel, Samael. Who do you think Uncle Samael is? Uncle Sam wants you. Uncle Samael. Look at the nose on him. Look at him. Does he look like he's a friendly American to you, pointing his finger at you? Or does he look more like a Jew banker to you? Go take a look at him. Are you going to continue dreaming? Are you going to continue pretending that this is not all happening around you? Now listen, I'm not a fearmonger. I don't play into all this stuff. When I saw Jade Helm happen, I was hoping they were going to pick up the Jews and pull them out of this country with it. I didn't necessarily think that was for my purpose or to hurt me. It may have been. But I was hoping they were going to pick up the Jews worldwide. Finally pick up Rockefeller. These bogus politicians. Rothschild. And all the other scum. You can't live in a world like this. You can't pretend it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to have gay marriage. It's not okay to have pedophilia. It's not okay to have bestiality. It's not okay to have usury. It's not okay to have race mixing. It's not okay. None of it is okay. Do you understand that? Any man who dresses as a woman or a woman who dresses as a man, they're gone. The first people that are gone at the end of the book of Revelation are the fearful. Who are the most fearful people in the world? The most evil people in the world are the most fearful. Even Hollywood's garbage entertainment will show you that. The most evil people are the most fearful people in the world because they have much to fear. You know, when you see these evil people, and like these homosexuals, and you say to yourself, "And oh, I know some homosexuals that are the nicest people in the world." Well, that's a game they play. You see, that is the same thing as equilibrium. They figure if they're the nicest people in the world and they act that way to all people, that that outweighs the bad part of them being the homosexual, which God cannot stand. Therefore, during the judgment, God will say, but yes, they were such a nice person. I mean, that just outweighed the evil. Do you understand? No, 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 no. That's not the way it's going to work. Sorry. And the homosexuals aren't the only ones that pull that little game off. You saw Bill Clinton. He acted like he was one of the nicest guys in the world. He's a bottom-of-the-barrel piece of garbage. With his little yarmulke on. His goose is cooked. Do you like my rant today, ladies and gentlemen? Do you like the fact that I'm telling you as it is, how it really is? Or would you rather let me, how about some of this? You're such a good person. I saw, what's his face name? The guy that used to be at the Crystal Cathedral. He was a Freemason, and I'm trying to think of his name. He gave the Crystal Cathedral to the Catholics. But anyway, when you heard his sermons, he was one of the most scariest-looking guys in the world. Another guy who's very scary-looking is Charles Krauthammer. You look at Charles. Now, there's a Jew right there who pretends he's a conservative. He's not a conservative, but he is a Jew. Take a look at that guy's face and tell me that this isn't the most scariest face practically you've ever seen in your life. Oh, I got that guy's name on the tip of my tongue. We don't see him anymore. But anyway, he used to do sermons like that. You're such a good person. They never mention Jesus. They never mention the Bible. They never mention anything. You go into their church and you sit down and I used to see Robert Shula. That's his name. I couldn't think of it. I just popped it out. Robert Shula. He used to say that. He'd say, "You're a good person. You have so much potential. You can do anything you put your mind to. You're wonderful. You have dreams, and you will live those dreams. And God loves all the people. We're all his children, even the homosexual, even the murderers, even the ones that have sex with donkeys and different kinds of animals. They're all God's children. And you're equal with them. You're equal with these homosexuals and these pedophiles, and they're wonderful people. They're all God's children." Hmm? And if you believe that, you must be dreaming. You must be dreaming. And if you could sit in a room and listen to that, It shows, you see, they're working on your feelings. That kind of a sermon works on your feelings. It tickles your ears, as they say. It makes you feel good. But it's a lie. And you're not awake. And you're only hearing the wrong type of truth. And you're speaking garbage. And you're dead spiritually. And of no use to Yahweh. So may the blind see. May they begin to see things as they really are. May they seek the truth, though they don't get paid for it. And may we keep speaking the truth in their ears so that they hear the truth. Because a man or a woman has to have the chance to hear the truth. Hearing the truth is one of the most important things. You know, I would be in a market and I would speak a little louder so that I got that truth into as many ears as I could, because I knew these people weren't hearing truth at all other than what I was speaking to them, or, you know, maybe that's the only truth they heard that day. Maybe that's the only truth they heard that week. Maybe that's the only truth they heard that month. That's why it's important for us to be speaking the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once they hear the truth, they begin to see it. Yahweh shows it to them in other parts of their lives. And may they speak the truth and rise from the dead. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.